Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, you can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/Ragnarok.
All the cool people do.
Hey, listeners. Ryan here. If you want to chat with us, be sure to join us on our brand new Discord server. The link is available on our social media. So click the link and then press 3 to tell Eric to shut up.
We here at Ragnarok would like to thank the following patrons. Shadows.
Steve Ariza.
Michael Davis.
Steven Vest.
Brownie Davis.
Wee Willie Wilson.
Wheelchair Jim.
Savarik.
James Burns.
Boy Harkin.
Michael Drescher.
And several bats.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
So right now we're recording. I don't know if this is going to be part of the main segment or if we're going to do this as like a pre-play. But this is... hey, everybody. Welcome to another Ragnarok actual play.
Or pre-play.
Or pre-play, depending on...
how it's a play.
It's going to be.
I usually pre-play before I play, you know? It's like warming it up, the engine.
I just jump right into the play.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so tonight we're going to be trying out a thing that I bought. This is Juggernaut by Jason Morningstar from Bully Pulpit Games.
So it's an unstoppable force?
Kind of, yeah. So this
Holy
is...
Holy shit!
This is a LARP. I've never done a LARP before, so it'll be interesting if we decide to actually go through with this, but...
Do I have to put on my costume?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I just change into a different costume?
Yeah. Go get your leather, James.
Yeah, right. You need your pole arm, too. So basically, in summary, the plot of this is that we are four scientists who have developed a computer called the Juggernaut that can see into the future.
How?
It tabulates and compiles lots and lots of data, and it has something to do with quantum physics.
Oh, you had an actual answer. Okay.
It's,
and algorithms.
It's weird. All right, so
science.
I'm gonna read the... Okay. I'm
just
gonna
watch
read the
Big
card.
Bang Theory, you'll get it.
Oh, God, no.
So, it is July 3rd, 1950. The Korean War is 8 days old.
Aww.
National Security Council Report 68 is sitting on Harry Truman's desk. A grim outline of the Cold War that is to unfold the world for the next 40 years. Alan Turing's paper, Computing Machinery and Intelligence, is circulating for review. Cinderella is a box office sensation. And you have invented a computer that can see the future. Employing cutting-edge Ward Takahashi identity derivations outside of their quantum theoretical framework.
Oh, okay. Yep. Why didn't you just say that?
I should have.
I mean, if the answer were there, it gets brighter in here.
It does get brighter in
Who
here.
Who fucking knew?
Anyway, employing all that stuff I just said, that totally made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Juggernaut processes enormous data sets, ostensibly in the service of code breaking once the technology is proven and refined.
At that point in time, weren't computers like the size of a room?
Yes.
So, I mean, so would they just like fill up like a Pentagon basement?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
And punch cards.
The unstable geniuses behind the math have reached some curious conclusions that only experimental evidence can confirm.
So not Donald Trump.
By the numbers, Juggernaut, given enough resources, should be able to crack ciphers before they are even invented.
Oh.
That's,
Each Juggernaut, here's the description of the size. Each Juggernaut tabulating bank is 3 meters long, 2 tall, and 1 wide. It looks for all the world like a 2.5-ton bookcase. The high-security tabulating room, which is where we are, is a vast hall full of clacking machines smelling of grease, cut paper, and electricity.
I do love the smell of cut paper. And electricity smells great. You ever have that?
And grease altogether?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what does anything smell like?
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Paul has absolutely no experience in any of that.
It all smells the same to me.
Juggernaut is designed to seek patterns in data encoded on Hollerith punch cards, which are these guys, In its current experimental configuration, Juggernaut consists of 256 tabulating banks that can process 1 million punch cards a day.
Wow.
The sorting drum within each bank rotates at 1,800 revolutions per minute, using thermionic waves to detect and tabulate data stops. New cards are generated and their data is ported to summary machines, creating a cascade of further refined information. The output of a run is a single human-readable Hollerith card. On that card is a simple statement about events that will happen in the future, and Juggernaut is never wrong.
Okay.
Never.
Prep and play. Invite 3, 4, or ideally 5 friends. As facilitator, you play as well. You need about 2 hours. Any private space will work. Download the audio track from bullypulpitgames.com/juggernaut and have it ready to play through speakers. This track is slightly too long, intentionally. Yeah. So
I was gonna have a play through my microphone.
Anytime we run a thing through the Juggernaut, my passcode I change to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you just hit play and then this happens.
I appreciate that.
Me too. It starts making me think like the beginning of Willy Wonka. And I had the computer stuff going on in the newsroom. And now it sounds like a lawnmower. Actually, no, it sounds like my generator that I use.
Oh, there you go.
Sounds like the jackhammer on my couch that you can throw
in. No, that's all those all those things,
yeah.
Yeah, rotating in the drum. So yeah, it does that really long sound effect. And then we draw a card, and the card tells us the future. So sort the summary output cards in sequence by number, which is done. Put card 01 on top. I think this is, nope, that's not 01, so we'll skip that over there.
Do you want me to look harder?
No, I did. It's all in order.
Obviously not if that's not 01.
No, this is, the printhead calibration test.
Yeah, like let me see.
It's like the preface card.
That's my favorite one.
I appreciate that as well. It's a nice detail.
Yeah, that is a nice detail.
If you want to substitute the alternate cards, which have the different colors, with the same number in sequence, the blue, yellow, and green card backs all have different outputs, so use them as replacements for replayability. Hmm. Place the summary output cards and audio player in a prominent location.
They are. For listeners at home.
Read the background information aloud. Display the character sheets and ask each player to choose one. If playing with 6, take whichever character that is left. Let everybody know the game will occur in a reasonably safe space. Reasonably. Because we're in Paul's house.
Well, except for all that lava. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was.
All those nails over there.
And the Wolverines.
Yeah. The game will last as long as it takes to reach the final summary output card. The pace of the card reveals is in the player's control, so we can draw these as quickly as we like.
I want all of them.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was about to take a handful.
But you do have to listen to the that super long sound effect every time you draw a card.
Never mind, I don't want any.
Juggernaut summary output jobs are stacked in a sequence that is slowly revealed in play. The next job can be run at any time.
This is like a stack of jobs that we have to get through.
It's so we're like, I guess, running a test on the computer to see just how good its predictive powers are, and these cards represent the output that it gives us. So I'll give you more information.
Of course.
But, these are the characters. There's Dr. Dorflinger. There's Dr. Takahashi. Dr. Chandrakar, Sims, Major Vandermeer, and Brasseau. Any of those sound particularly interesting to anybody?
I'm liking Sims.
Okay. Sims for Jones.
Yeah.
So it has your character description on the front, and then there's a little thing on the back about the other characters and how you feel about them.
Too bad we don't have more friends that could play this with us. You said, like, you know, 3 or 4.
Yeah, it's
ideally,
up to 6.
Up to 6, yeah.
I guess Dr. Dorflinger?
All right, so you're Dr. Dorflinger.
We should be more likable.
We have Dr. Takahashi. We have Major Vandermeer. Dr. Chandrakar and Brissell.
Ow. I'll be Major Vandermeer.
Okay, Major Vandermeer for Alex.
Thank you.
And I think I'm going to be... I think I'm going to be Dr. Takahashi.
Dr. Scott!
I'm not getting dice on any of this. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Which one did you pick, right guy?
I picked Dr. Takahashi.
Takahashi. Sims, Vandermeer, Takahashi.
Oh, and we have, just so we remember...
oh, there we go.
Yeah. Sims for Jums, Dorflinger for Paul. Where the hell is Major Vandermeer? There he is.
Everywhere.
That right. Should have been the...
I got some,
Oh, look at that! Tape.
So these are our name badges, alright.
I would say it would have been,
No. Just in case anybody wants to get up.
Here you go, Jums.
Sims.
I like it.
Alright, do we want to read our character descriptions aloud, or?
Sure, but not the secret side.
Yeah, not the secret side. Alright, I guess I'll go first. I am Dr. Takahashi. You are Nisei, a second-generation Japanese-American born in Hayward, California. Math is what you know. It is the language you speak, the air you breathe. You spent most of the Second World War in an internment camp in Idaho, working on your doctoral dissertation in mathematics, focusing on the topology of complex manifolds. Your math is what makes this machine do beautiful and strange things. Topology and the shaky field of quantum mechanics, planes of undulating data, the lurching and stuttering and perhaps breaking. You see it all in the clacking whir of punch cards. It was your vision that provided the spark for this project.
So the secret side is about the others?
How you feel about the other people. For Dr. Dorflinger... You live at the intersection of the applied and the theoretical. While you appreciate the lonely beauty of pure math, you also gain a deep satisfaction from seeing that math harnessed to some elegant purpose. During the war, that purpose was rocketry. And you helped to build amazing machines that, well, you don't dwell on what they were actually used for. That looks bad on a resume. But you follow the work and your current hosts have been very forgiving. This computer is the most interesting thing you've ever worked on. Takahashi sweated the math. Chandrakar built the machine, but you made it speak. What will it say?
Well, what will it say?
What was your character? A Dorflinger.
Dorflinger. And you're Vandermeer?
Mm-hmm.
Major Vandermeer.
Damn straight.
Major asshole.
Major pain in my ass.
Alrighty, so I'm Sims. I'm James, I'm playing Sims. Sims isn't your real name. You represent a quiet agency with an interest in learning the secrets that the many enemies of your nation would prefer to keep hidden. You've seen a lot of strange stuff. During the war, you worked for serious people cleaning up various unusual messes all over Europe. And honestly, nothing surprises you anymore. Thing is, a machine that can actually tell the future would raise a few jaded eyebrows, perhaps including yours. It is probably bullshit, but if it isn't, well, it represents a real Pandora's box, doesn't it? Maybe ripping the lid off the hinges isn't such a hot idea.
All right, and I'm Alex, and I'm playing Major Vandermeer. You are a major in the army, and you carry yourself like the soldier you are. You are here because this machine has big national security implications, and most of the work is being done by people you were busy killing just 5 years ago. It's a funny old world, and seeing a German scientist basically move from one team to the other with no ass-kicking in between makes you a little cynical. It makes you wonder how much the sacrifices you made were appreciated, and what it was all for. So here you are, babysitting a crackpot project that could change the world if, by some miracle, it actually does what the eggheads promise.
All right. So now that we've got an idea of our characters, I'll keep going with the prep.
Sure.
Juggernaut is never wrong. Everything it says will happen must happen. It is up to you to make Juggernaut's outputs become reality, no matter how difficult or far-fetched. Events in the distant future are merely harbingers. Events taking place on 3 July 1950 must happen during play. So it'll give us a date. of what's happening, or what it predicts will happen.
Did it tell us what day it is now, or did
it
tell
us? Yeah, it's 3 July
1950. Oh, okay.
It's on our badge.
Yeah. Anyone can run a summary output job by pressing play on the audio device. So just so you know, I've got my iPhone there. This is the password.
Of course, saying iPhone. What are you getting, a plug over here?
Nah, it's an old iPhone. Apple hates me.
They really do. I remember your computer.
Uh-huh.
It's like, where's the stop carrying that OS anymore?
Yeah. All, all those programs you use, we don't support them. So anyway, anyone can run a summary output job by pressing play on the audio device. When the track ends, anyone may pick up, read, and interpret the top card. If the card says you, it refers specifically to the person drawing the card. Share its contents if you wish.
It's double-sided. I didn't realize that.
Give everyone a name tag. When you are all ready, begin. Ask everyone to introduce themselves to the group in character. Feel free, free play begins immediately. Anyone can run a summary output job at any time. Make sure everyone is crystal clear about the game's hard parameters. Anyone can run a job. The cards are never wrong. It is up to you as players to make them true. It is important to note that there is no fixed outcome, and other than the hard and fast rules set down, anything can happen. Sometimes characters get stabbed. The game ends when the last card in the stack has been revealed.
So how do we make the things happen? Like, we just say, oh, this happened?
Well, it's a LARP, so we're supposed to be, like, a little bit more active and physical. Like, we don't sit. Yeah.
I guess you're drawing a card.
Well, let's not start this yet.
We got time.
Yeah. For this sound effect to finish up.
Or we could just, you know, replay it. You know, hit pause.
So like we're supposed to treat this as if we are these four characters who are actually in the tabulating room, and anything that it says, you know, we kind of act out and I don't think it's if I remember correctly, none of it is like, you know, somebody stabs another person. It's more like things for the characters to react to.
Okay.
So like my character doesn't have a tickle thing and just gets up and just starts tickling everybody, huh?
Well, you can. This is not in the cards.
You could, but. Yeah, that's your interpretation of Sims. If you have a weird, like, tickle torture thing.
No.
And the last two cards... is a note about safety. Play safer. There is no way to completely prepare for how the material in this game might affect the players, including yourself. There is no way to be completely safe. With this in mind, here are a few simple rules and techniques that can help everybody have a positive experience. For everyone, approach play with the expectation of love and trust. I love you all. I trust you all.
Fuck off.
Take care of and watch out for one another. Make it your mission to help others have fun, confident that they are doing the same thing for you. Care more about the real people who are playing than the game. The door is always open. You are free to leave the play area at any time for any reason. Fictional constraints, this game's locked room, for example, are irrelevant. If you need to go to the bathroom, go ahead. If you need a quiet moment alone, that's fine. If you aren't enjoying the game, go find something more fun to do. There will be no judgment, and leaving the game won't impact anyone else's fun. Although it isn't required, discreetly telling a facilitator will keep people from worrying about you. Real danger stops at the game if you experience what you believe to be a threatening situation, physical or emotional, toward yourself or another. Loudly say cut. The word cut stops play immediately. When you hear cut, regardless of the circumstances, stop what you are doing. The game will resume when the danger is obviated, mitigated, or resolved. There will be no judgment, and calling cut is always the right choice.
Sorry again about the lava.
Cut.
Cut. Can we please mop up the lava?
The lava made another trail through the house.
The lava's melting me. I'm slowly sinking into it. Can someone pull me up, please?
Well, you didn't say cut.
No, he did before.
Where the hell did lava get in this room?
Can we at least, like, ventilate the fumes a little? You control the intensity of play. If you participate in a scene and prefer that it not escalate in intensity, physical or emotional, say break to the people in that scene with you. Break is an explicit signal not to increase the scene's intensity any further. As with cut, there will be no judgment, and calling break is always the right choice. Speak up if you need something.
Push you one step closer to the edge.
I'm about to break.
Don't push me.
Okay. So the rest of it is just notes for me. And that's all of the prep that we.
I would just like to say that some of the secrets that my character feels about the other players do not seem conducive to some of the rules that were outlined about being nice and putting people first.
Yeah, mine. Similar.
I think that's where the love and trust comes in. Like, if you express ill feelings toward any of us, it's we are supposed to take it as ill feelings toward our characters and not toward us in real life.
So they're expecting us to really get into character for this, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. So do we want to cut here and restart?
Yeah, just keep going.
All right.
I feel like this is going to flow. If we don't have this part, people aren't really going to know what's going on.
Yeah. All right, so I guess in that case, let's start by introducing ourselves in character. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this test today. I'm Dr. Takahashi. I'm very, very flattered to have you all here. I hope we have a successful test.
As do I, Dr. Takahashi. It was a pleasure to work with you on this project.
Dr. Dorflinger, my colleague.
Yes, I know who you are. Let's just get this done.
Sir, excuse me, I didn't get your name.
It's Sims. And that's all you need to know for right now. Just here to monitor the situation. Don't mind me.
Certainly.
I feel like if we want this to be much more accurate, we all need a pack of cigarettes and a pall of smoke in the room.
Glug, glug, glug.
I guess we can't actually, like, text each other secret messages because it's the 1950s.
Well, we do have a future-predicting computer.
Yeah.
So maybe we all have cell phones.
One day you will be able to text each other secret messages. What does that mean?
Today we're just going to have to write them down on little pieces of paper. Yeah. Just like they would in the 1950s.
In 5 minutes, Sims will text Dr. Vandermeer.
That's oddly specific.
How did you know?
No. In 5 minutes, James will text Paul.
A picture of a cat.
Send you a picture of my cat.
Ooh.
If you don't mind, I'd like to kick off the test right now.
Yes, I'm very interested to see what this is going to happen here.
Activate
or
the
what's
machine.
About to happen.
Nothing, that's what.
I do apologize for the noise, gentlemen. It gets quite loud.
Is there any way you could design this to be a little quieter?
Maybe, but this is just a prototype. These tabulating drums rotate at 1800 RPM.
Well, it's definitely something to keep in mind for future models.
It's like music to my ears.
Collating millions of punch cards worth of data, and we'll see what it tells us. I'm excited. Dr. Dorflinger, if you would.
It says, on 3 July 1950, you will discover that you have misplaced a monogrammed fountain pen and enlist the others in a pointless search for it.
What?
That's it? Your big future-predicting machine says you're going to lose a pen?
Not just a pen, a monogrammed fountain pen.
Do you have such a pen?
No. I mean, yes.
I do. Game over.
Yeah, there he goes.
I do. I remember I had it this morning.
Oh. Did you check your pockets?
That's a good thought. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Perhaps we should check the floor.
Oh, here it is. Thank you. Well, it wasn't rolled underneath the desk.
That was a very long and pointless search.
It wasn't wrong.
Thank God we have this million-dollar machine to tell us that we lost our pens.
No, look, it must have some other data to share that aren't quite so irrelevant. Let me run another one.
I mean, our nation's secrets, you know, are highly at risk. You know, because we can't sign those documents without that pen.
Oh, good. Now we get to do this again. The wonder of technology and mathematics and machinery just working together.
It is staggeringly complex.
I mean, it did know he misplaced his pen.
Maybe this one will tell us that Dr. Takahashi needs to sharpen his pencil.
Well, let's see. Shall we? Huh.
I think you do need to sharpen your pencil, actually. Oh, you were making an obvious reference. Okay, I get it now.
Well, Doctor?
That's... It says, on 3 July 1950, you will refuse to accept the accuracy of Juggernaut's summaries, dismissing them as parlor tricks. Over time, your opinion will change.
Well, I don't know about that last part, but the first part definitely seems pretty accurate.
Oh, is it timeout or cut or something like that? When it says, you read in the directions, it says when it says you on the card, it specifically means your character.
It refers to me, yeah.
I just wanted, I guess, action.
Oh, no, this is all wrong. This is supposed to be... It's...
I mean, I felt that way already. I mean, I've seen some things, but...
Well...
A future-predicting machine, I mean... They have those at the carnival.
It was right with me, though. Maybe you should try again, Dr. Takahashi.
No, let me get this.
Work. It's meaningless. It's... I mean, the first two predictions and... What did it really tell us?
That our nation's secrets. Yeah. Nation's secret away from that?
It's part of the experience.
I need a drink.
I think we all could use a drink. Turn your staff flying around.
Yes, I've got a bottle back here.
And what does it say?
I don't know. I just printed it out. It's a bunch of numbers.
Well, what pointless inanity did my brilliant machine spit out at you, Sims?
On 22 November 1963, you will hear the news that in Dallas, Texas, President John F. Kennedy and gibberish.
President who?
John F. Kennedy.
Never heard of him.
1960. It's 13 years from now. And it just bouts out a bunch of gibberish. Doesn't say anything other than that.
I mean, it seems like your Nostradamus box here is making some very vague predictions. You're going to have to wait 13 years to see if that one comes true. The first one was about a pen. It didn't even predict the future for you. It just said that you're not going to believe it. Let's see what else this thing spits out, if I could do it without jumping the file ahead to the middle. There we go. I mean, what? I can't hear you over the gears.
Maybe in the future your models will be a bit smaller and quieter.
I suppose as we approach the date on the card, the data will get more accurate. The machine will be able to... But that's pointless. What are we supposed to do about an event happening 13 years in the future? How are we supposed to verify that? It's impossible.
Well, it's not impossible. You just need to be patient.
Cut to a bunch of years later. I'm sitting on the couch. Oh,
let's
President
see.
John Kennedy. I remember reading something about him in Texas.
Major?
I just have to go check something. I'll be right back.
What are we doing?
going to do. They're going to cut our funding.
Maybe we'll see about what we can find out while he's gone. Maybe we'll get something good.
While that thing goes, I'm going to go check on him.
As nothing to do with anything, he's up to something. How's it been? I was just making sure you were okay.
Just checking the security. As was I.
Here, we just check more data here.
It's my job to keep everyone here safe.
And we certainly appreciate it, Major Vandermeer.
It's my job to make sure this goes smoothly, which...
Is that your job? I was a little unclear on what exactly that was.
Yes, exactly. Well, what department did you say you were from again, Sims?
Government.
Well, obviously, are you DOD, or are you...
I was just told to be here, and that's all you need to know.
It's best not to ask too many questions, Doctor.
He does have a badge, so...
Although we do have something that's coming up close, not 13 years in the future, just a mere few months. On 19th of October, 1950... The People's Republic of China will enter the Korean conflict by sending thousands of soldiers across the Yalu River.
Well, you see, Major, there it is. It's proved itself. Assuming that's true.
Assuming that's true. And how are we going to verify that's true until that comes?
Well, we can be prepared for it now.
Well, if we put defenses up there, if they notice defenses, then they won't go down that river. If
Can
that's
we
what it just
change
said.
The future?
I am not certain. Are we bound by the printouts on the punch cards? It's accumulated from millions of punch cards worth of data.
Where is all this data coming from exactly?
Well, that's the beauty of it. Much of it is just random junk that we typed up and filed onto punch cards. But because of the mathematics involved, it doesn't matter. It's a randomness factor. The machine zeroes in on the quantum field that the influx of data produces, and randomly consolidates it into something that is sure to indicate, or so I thought, future events.
So it's all based on randomness.
In a way.
I would say more the math works out. It goes through different algorithms, and the machinery that I built makes sense of the math and creates a result.
Yes, the machinery you built, it's been so effective, Dr. Dorflinger.
Well, it did predict that he was missing his pen. Mm-hmm.
And my machines have always worked.
Oh, I know. I've seen your machines in action before.
My question is, I'm not a man of science, is that, let's say it tells us something and then we act on it, so did it in fact cause the future to happen the way it predicted, or is it just something if we make an attempt to change it? Well, I'm not big on math and science, so if us doing a thing to stop whatever it predicted from happening, so then we would never know if the prediction is real.
But...
Or are we doomed to cause the effect that it predicted because we were taking steps to prevent it?
Well, that's a fascinating question. I suppose it's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. We can't measure the position and speed of a particle without changing either of those factors. We can't observe the future without influencing it somehow.
But I want to know what happens to this so-called President John F. Kennedy in Texas.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait 13 years, though. I'll just Google it.
Well, let's see what else your randomness can spit out.
Sorry.
Having fun, Tim?
I might have. I need my bubble pipe.
What do you want me to say more? She's got
it. Of course.
Exhaling into your... Alright, let's see what it says now. Oh my.
Ooh, my.
Is something wrong, Major?
On August 17th, 1956, your brother David will be thrown from a horse and break both his wrists.
Do you even have a brother, David?
I do.
Okay. Does he have a horse thing? Does he like horses? Does
a
he
horse
go,
thing?
Like, does he go horseback riding?
Yes, he plays polo.
Well, that's an odd thing for a random generator to predict.
While we won't be able to tell whether or not this will come to pass, it's... a little disconcerting that so much government money is being diverted into random predictions about the future and my brother's wrist health.
But think of the potential ramifications. Being able to know when injuries or potential wars may occur.
Yes, potential wars, but my brother breaking his wrists is not going to help the security or safety of the United States.
But on a personal level, think of the savings in healthcare across the country. People not getting injured.
The savings in healthcare across the country. We spent $500 million building this computer.
Well,
I think a $5 cast for someone's broken wrist is a slightly better expenditure if all this is going to do is warn us about cuts and bruises, Doctor.
There was that earlier output that mentioned the communist invasion of North Korea, South Korea, excuse me.
Is there any way to zero in its predictions, or is it just going to be always random? Or is that something we can perfect over time?
Well, that's very tricky. You see, part of the machine's ability to predict the future relies upon the randomness element. But we can always run another job. Let me just cue another one up here. Yes, I'm sure we'll get something else worth noting.
I would hope we'd get something worth noting. I mean, so far we've gotten trivial things and something about an unknown person and something about Tommy. I mean, that seems to be the only one to really be concerned about other than this one's pen.
You know that something will happen to the president in the future on...
Possibly.
Well, we know that there's a president.
Okay, let's see what the machine says here. Okay. On 3 July 1950, after making it clear that you can easily resist Juggernaut's forecasts, you will touch each person in the tabulating room on the shoulder. Now, that is insane. Of course, to answer your question, I can simply, about observing the future, I can simply not touch anyone on the shoulder. Dorklinger! Oh my. You see, that was just a careless slip of the hand. I can certainly avoid touching either of you on the shoulder.
I certainly hope so. So now, if you don't touch us on the shoulder, does that mean that the machine was wrong or that you changed the future?
I suppose by knowing the future, I would have changed it.
Well, perhaps the prediction was wrong.
If you touch me on the shoulder, I'll consider an attack and break his brother's wrist.
Well, then maybe he'll be a little more cautious when he goes horseback riding in a few years.
Well, I'm going to give this thing another shot. The last one I got was, am I doing something wrong?
No, there you go.
It's an iPhone. Everything's wrong.
That's how I feel.
I
I mean, they can't all be revelations about future presidents.
Well, they should be for the amount of money you spent on it.
But that's the wonder of the Juggernaut. It can predict anything and everything.
You don't need it to predict everything. You need it to predict useful things.
See what your... Why don't I was getting... I always get ones that just try to fade out at the end. Maybe that's its prediction for me.
It must be something to do with your quantum field, Sims. It must not like you.
On 12th April 1961, you will hear that Yuri A. Gagarin has become the first human to orbit the Earth in the VO, or VO, VOV. It just fades out after that.
That sounds Russian.
Yuri, yeah. So you're telling us the Russians get to go into orbit before we do?
Well, that's what Juggernaut says.
That is the way the data points. I can't control what the data says.
Russians in space.
Well, let me see what else I can find.
People in space. That's sci-fi. This whole thing is sci-fi.
I do so love the sound of that machine.
You know, it's starting to grow on me. I wish I knew history better so I knew what the 1950s were actually like.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Except without the iPhone.
Oh man, that was the 50s. Come on.
It's all doo-wop and poodle skirts and malt shops and jalopies. Okay, it says here, on July 3, 1950...
I think you mean they need to clean your printer spool.
Yes, something must be wrong with the printer head.
I will quietly reveal my true feelings toward another member of the test committee.
Ominous.
That wasn't quiet.
Well, he hasn't said anything.
No.
But I've always been open.
Have you, Doctor?
Well, yes. I really do appreciate your allowing me into this country to help with such projects as this and others.
I'm sorry, Dorflinger. That was uncalled for.
He's not the only one who should be thankful.
What is that supposed to mean, Major?
Nothing. There's just many people working on this project who should be thanking the government for allowing them to be here.
Well, I
feel like I should try my luck one more time. I keep getting things in such the far future. And
I mean, for me, I'm truly just thankful. Just, this is a work of art.
The mechanical marvel. Go somewhere.
I think that mine can be all blasty. Do you think the kids will dance to this sound one day?
What? No. Kids aren't that stupid.
Well, Sims,
I need to up your arm.
I'm sure it's not that, like, you know, Sims would want to pack up the whole Juggernaut and ship it to some undisclosed location or something. I mean,
how would he pack it up?
What?
It's a building.
Oh, what?
How would he pack it up?
It's pack what up?
I think you can hear you, Dorflinger.
Oh.
I'm sitting right here. Of course I can hear you. If you wanted to keep it secret, you should have ran that machine first. The infernal racket would have drowned out everything.
Good idea, Major. Let's run off another one so that my colleague and I can have a secret discussion.
Well, somebody on your project is no longer going to be with us in a week, according to your machine.
Sorry, Sims, can't hear you.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. Keep running until something good happens. Something they need and they want. Something they can use. I can't have them send me out of this country. I've got a kid here.
Major? It may be important for you to know.
Now then, let's see what Pearl of Wisdom Juggernaut has cast thoughts before us now.
Well, out with it, Sims.
It has to do with the security of our nation, and that's our job. Your guys' job is this machine.
Now, listen. This is preposterous. On 3 July 1950, you will make a loud speech denouncing the Juggernaut program and suggesting the sorting machine be destroyed. The decision will be reached not to destroy the sorting machine.
Did you create the machine? The thing predicted that your faith would be lost, and now your machine's predicting you're going to want to destroy it.
Look, it's plain that my career as a mathematician and my Department of Defense funding is coming to an end. We might as well just scrap the entire thing. It's done nothing but rattle off nonsense and drivel. Oh my god. I just prepared the final draft of my paper. I was going to present it next week at the conference. My goodness.
Calm down, Doctor.
Doctor, no decisions has been final yet. I mean, we can still run this machine for a bit longer. Maybe something useful will come out of it.
Such as something like this.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Dr. Goldfinger, if you wouldn't mind.
My pleasure. You are a guest here after all.
Yeah, me too.
We really should shorten the sequence, Goldfinger.
I agree. Maybe just wrap some blankets around it or something.
What if we put, like, foam around it? I hear foam's the new thing. It's like a muffler.
Oh my.
What?
On 2 January 1959, you will die of pancreatic cancer after a short illness.
Wow.
And you believe it?
I'm sorry? For your...
How does your pancreas feel, Doctor?
I don't know.
Well, at least you know you'll have 9 years to enjoy yourself.
That's more than some guys.
And all of my belief and faith in science and math and machinery, and I have no other recourse but to believe it.
Dorflinger, don't be ridiculous.
I may not be a man of math, but isn't there someone that says, you know, probability, like something about it dictating at least being right once?
I've gone through all of the calculations. There's no way what's being said can possibly be wrong.
yet it seems you have the unenviable position of knowing when and how you're going to die.
I hear cancer is painful.
In some ways, it's quite freeing. I know what time left I and what I can do with it. No more wasting time.
On 3 July 1950, two members of the test committee will come to blows, and a serious injury will settle the disagreement.
Well, as you can see, things are perfectly civil. We're getting along famously. Right, Sims?
I will let that one slide.
Okay.
Your brother's arrest will be safe for now.
I'm glad to hear that. Not as glad as he was.
Okay, look. It's plain to see that the applications here are not nearly as useful as we thought they might have been, as I may have predicted they would have been. And, unfortunately...
I mean, it's your guy's machine. I mean...
I think that the project should be scrapped. None of this information has been at all useful. Even if Dorflinger does die on, what was it, the 2nd of August, 1959?
January.
I'm sorry. I gave you seven extra months. I was being generous there.
Very generous.
There must be more to this machine. There must be more. I must know more.
I mean, this is your men's design, and you seem to be losing faith in your own machinery. Even in your own project.
I have never lost faith in the Juggernaut.
Well, your partner seems to have.
Crisis of faith, Dr. Takahashi?
There's no faith involved, Major Vandermeer. It's all about math, and clearly, math has proved itself not up to the task in this case.
Are you sure it's the math and not your equation?
What is that supposed to mean, Sims?
I'm asking is, are you sure? Because from what I understand, math is infallible. It's people's equations or their ability to do said math that could be flawed.
Well, are you saying that my calculations are inaccurate?
So far, you're batting, what, one in how many have we done of these? 14? His pen was missing.
Well, he's also dying of pancreatic cancer. Did you forget about that?
Well, we
also, the Chinese are invading.
Possibly. Or those predictions are totally asinine. Well, what is it now, Dorflinger?
On 3 July 1950, you will produce a small supply of contraband and share it to lift morale. And seeing that I have a short enough future, 9 years seems long, but on the grand scheme of things, might as well just enjoy some Cuban cigars, gentlemen.
Commie.
Really?
You were just keeping those in your pocket.
I'd like to have a smoke on special occasions. I thought that
these would be a great success. Cigars.
But there seems to be some disbelief here, and
I just bite.
Don't begrudge a dying man.
Vandermeer pulls out his service knife and cuts a V into the cigar. Well, thank you for this, at least. Better than all the cigarettes we've been smoking.
The room's starting to smell like cancer.
It's 1950. Cigarettes don't cause cancer, oh, which is cool.
The Surgeon General recommends you smoke as many as you want.
Got a bad cough? Smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Good for the kids, too.
Also, technically, Cubans wouldn't be contraband yet.
There's no blockade yet, I don't think.
See, again, I'm with James on the history.
Yeah, Bay of Pigs wasn't until 55?
No, that was Kennedy's presidency.
Yeah,
I think it was 62. I know the Cuban Missile Crisis was October of 61, I want to say.
Yeah. So there probably won't be a blockade until that fictional president is about to get killed.
Right.
Fair enough. Sorry. Something. Still, maybe out of character. We're not supposed to smoke in here because there's lots of delicate machinery.
Yeah.
That's why it's contraband.
Exactly. That's what I'm going with, and that's what I'm sticking
to. Well, fine. Let's see what else your glorious taxpayer-funded machine can tell us.
Word of this can't get out to the public that we have a future-predicting machine that predicts about missing pens.
Well, we're going to pull me another stack. This is the money that could be going to the war effort, keeping our boys alive.
But, knowing when and where the Chinese will invade.
Maybe. Until they actually invade, you can't prove that that's accurate.
But we have information we can use to prevent it from happening.
I'm also here looking for more for secrets about our other countries, or maybe even our own, that might accidentally get told by this thing. How close are other countries to developing something like this? I'm not interested in your pen or his brother, or your crisis of faith.
We can only hope that the other nations of the world develop something like this and funnel their money into it the way we have.
So, is that part of your plan, to make us waste our money on this boondoggle?
And then have word get out, and other countries start wasting money of their own to get something similar?
On 3 July 1950, you will seek to understand what is happening and interrogate everyone in the tabulation room. You will learn some unpleasant truths and regret your decision.
Well, you caught me, Major. I'm receiving my orders directly from Tokyo.
It wouldn't surprise
you. You thought the war was over when you bombed my country to smithereens, but we got you.
Well, we could have bombed more of it.
You killed thousands of our citizens, and we wasted millions of your taxpayer dollars. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Seems like a very,
You should watch your tone, Doctor. A lot of good men died.
I wouldn't know. I was in an internment camp in Idaho.
Yes.
Working on my thesis.
And look how that turned out.
Yes. Look at how it turned out.
Some bad math.
Or some good math. You still all disbelieve it.
Math is neither bad nor good. It simply is. That is one of the beautiful things about math.
So what you're saying is, it's not what it is, it's how you use it.
I suppose it is.
And apparently your team used it wrong.
Sims, what is it that you do, exactly? Because so far all I've seen you do is make snide remarks.
It's my job to sit, listen, and make snide remarks.
Haven't you figured it out yet, Doctor? Sims here works for our CIA, I would assume. Maybe the NSA.
Maybe I'll just leave you to your predictions. I won't say that you're wrong.
On 3 July 1950, you will confess.
Oh.
Confess to what, Dorflinger?
I guess he has a whole litany of things he can confess to. War criminals usually do.
I mean, he's only got a while to live, so might as well confess now.
All those machines. I was caught up. I was actually appreciated for my knowledge and what I could do. I just didn't know to what extent I could go to, and they pushed me, and I went in places that human minds should not go to, and they rewarded me for it, and such great rewards. And ooh. I was so far removed.
Oh.
You don't understand.
Oh, I understand. I saw those machines and what they did. Bombs falling, rockets blaring in the sky, tanks shooting at buildings and rolling over the screaming, dying men. I know what your machines did, Dr. Dorflinger, because I was there. But you don't know the rewards. I know what your reward will be. A fiery spit for all eternity. That's your reward. And apparently I know when to go to the funeral, too.
Well, it was good enough that I was rewarded to be brought here. So your government accepts and honors me for what I did and what I can bring for your country.
What you can bring? A machine that tells me when people are going to get boo-boos and when pens have been lost. Yes, I'm sure the government is going to be very keen on keeping you around after this. Maybe they'll find a nice hovel for you to die of cancer in.
Well, why don't you try it again?
Sure. Let's see what other great predictions this thing spits out. What are you going to tell us this time, Juggernaut? Tomorrow it's going to rain. Today the sky will still be blue.
Maybe it'll predict that I'll have a drink. No, seriously, why do you always get the blast ones? I always get the ones that start fading off.
And gibberish.
And gibberish. Do you know the blast ones?
All right. Let's see.
Wow, he is the future. He pulled it before the machine spit it out.
On 3 July 1950, you will attempt but will not succeed in violating Protocol Anchor Rodeo and escaping the tabulation room. What is Protocol Anchor Rodeo?
That's something you don't need to concern yourself with, Doctor.
Well, if I don't know what it is... Oh, whatever. I have to go.
No, you don't. You need to stay here, Doctor.
What do you mean, Major?
I mean that Protocol Anchor Rodeo is in effect and the building is on lockdown. All the doors and windows have been sealed.
What? Well, that's ridiculous. What?
It's locked.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I believe he told you that it was.
They can't do this to us. They can't keep us here.
We didn't do this. Someone else did.
Who?
Someone outside this room. Someone who decided that Protocol Anchor Rodeo needed to be put into effect.
That's preposterous. Why would they keep us here?
Because they need to see the effects of this machine? Maybe they need to see our reactions to the effects of this machine? Who knows?
Well, you know that the government can do what they want, even though it seems like they shouldn't. You felt the effects of that.
All about coulda, not shoulda.
Yeah.
Much like...
I see where you're going with this, Dorflinger.
But I don't see where this machine is going with this.
My family and I get carted off to a shack in Idaho for 3 years, and you get a clean slate and a free pass, and that's what the United States government does for people.
Please, pull another card.
Yes, Major, please.
Well, that's the one I was going to pull, but seeing as Dr. Takahashi was so eager, let's see what the machine has to tell me this time. Plus the fact that I already knew that Anchor Radio was in effect, so I probably wouldn't have passed.
See, the thing is, he did panic and try to escape, but couldn't. Now, was that because the machine told him that the doors were locked, so he had to go check for himself?
The machine did earlier predict that Anchor Radio would be in effect. I'll admit, I was skeptical until I saw that the doors and windows were sealed.
Windows, too.
Everything, Doctor. What? On 10 June 2029, an SWA-affiliated terror cell will detonate a nuclear weapon in Grant Park. And then a whole bunch of gibberish. What are we supposed to do with that? That's 79 years from now. We probably won't even be... We won't be alive.
Well, Dorflinger won't be.
Humor. Let's see if I can actually get one that has a finish.
A nuclear weapon. So they're gonna fly a plane over Grant Park and drop a bomb?
There's no way they can get that far into our country without anyone realizing it.
You don't know. It's 79 years from now. So perhaps they'll find a way to miniaturize it by then.
Technology is always advancing.
Something with that much destructive force can't be made something so small.
Next you'll be saying that this juggernaut could fit in one room someday.
Or be held in a pocket.
Or worn on your wrist. That'd be preposterous.
I'm waiting with bated breath, Sims.
I don't know who this is.
On July 3rd, 1950...
Explain the work of Harold Hall Keene and the special modifications he made to the Juggernaut tab. I think it's just someone you make up. Out of character.
Okay.
I think it's just you. You just tell
somebody.
Yeah.
It's not even a character that's playable.
Harold Hall Keene is just a person.
And the special modifications he made to the Juggernaut tabulating mechanism. And I will describe Harold Hall Keene's death.
Well, who was Harold Hall Keene?
He was one of our men that was on the project.
Keene was working for you the entire time?
Well, not me, but the organization I work for.
What did he do to the mechanism?
Well, he made sure your numbers were correct. And he added a few special things on there to make sure that our nation's secrets are kept safe.
Is that why it's alternately spitting out gibberish and...
I honestly don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm just here to see the end results.
Well, I must see more.
Well, if you must know, after he completed his mission, it was my job to take him out.
And?
That's what I was paid to do. Clean up his mess. It's kind of odd that he would put his own card in there, his own prediction of what would happen to him in there.
Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe it was the Juggernaut tabulating reams of random data.
But, thing is that I don't know if that's more of a prediction or... See, the thing is that's something that's already happened, so it's not really a prediction of what did happen, obviously. It was me telling you.
The prediction was that you would tell us. I can't see any reason why you would have told us, other than...
But the card said he would.
But he didn't have to, and you did.
Well, you keep asking why I'm here, and that's why I'm here.
And what are you going to do with us when we're done feeding data into the machine?
I wasn't given anything about that. I was just told to keep an eye on the machine.
Well, let's see what else the machine has to say.
Gotcha! Oh, you don't have your phone on you? I sent you a picture of a cat like we predicted in the beginning of the game. I was waiting for you to notice. Oh. I forgot you have a flip phone.
Paul's phone is older than he is.
On 3 July 1950, you will prostrate yourself before Juggernaut and plead for mercy. Your pleas will echo through the tabulating room, ignored by the sorting machine.
I guess you don't want to die of cancer?
I really don't. Please. Please.
anything else. I don't want to die.
Dorflinger.
I survived through all of the war.
You
survived?
I survived through the regime. I survived through everything. I survived through the guilty charges against me, and I survived.
Not next week, you won't.
You didn't survive anything. You profited off the deaths of millions.
You just seem to be doing quite well for yourself.
And you're actually...
And if you ever stepped out of line or took a sideways glance, you were taken out too. The things I had to do to survive.
Oh. Boo-hoo.
Definitely, there are plenty of men with spines who stood up to the Nazis, who helped others through a horrible situation. But you used it to further your own career.
He is a valuable asset.
There's projects that I'm sure you know that you don't, that I've done to help with this country with my rockets and things to help your Department of Defense.
Did I give you 7 extra months? I take them back.
That's it, Takahashi. I've had enough. We're coming to blows! Ow, my arm! Ow! I'll stop it!
Gentlemen, please. I wouldn't want to see you two hurt yourselves.
I was enjoying it. Although, I would have to ask that you not hurt Dorflinger.
Thank you, Major.
Considered too valuable.
You just...
That was 3, Dr. Takahashi. Mm.
Okay, well... Maybe there is something to it.
Well, I feel it might be a little bit more subconscious at that point.
Fine.
The idea was planted.
You know what? We've been keeping ourselves busy with these predictions for a good while. Let's get one more and
maybe it's not a prediction of the future. Perhaps it's some sort of psychological warfare machine. Lock people in a room, tell them things.
I wonder what that the last prediction is going to be.
You're all going to die in here. Partner him up with a Nazi.
I'll get traitor.
Make them lose their teaching position at Berkeley.
All in pursuit of the Emperor.
Quiet, you. On 3 July 1950, Protocol Anchor Rodeo will be lifted. The tabulating door will be unlocked, and you will be free to go. Yeah.
Well, let's take a look then, shall we? Just kidding.
Andrew, you bastard.
Looks like we're free to go, gentlemen. Must have been a false alarm.
Well, thank you all for participating in the test.
I'm sure the higher-ups will be looking forward to all your reports.
Oh, I'm going to have a lot of paperwork after this. One person on your team is not going to have a fun time next week.
I'll see you all in 6 years at Dorflinger's funeral.
Well, we know when, we just don't know where. Where do you think you'll be in 6 years?
Wherever the Department of Defense tells me to be.
Hopefully a prison.
China.
Cut.
And see.
Alright.
See, the problem was that there was, like, one character that my guy would have liked, and it was none of you. So do you want to read our about the others?
Sure.
So, for me, Takahashi. Spent the war in an internment camp at Idaho. Should probably not have been released. Dorflinger. You killed a lot of Nazis. What would one more matter? Sims. Probably not the actual name on this one. Soft Hands. A spy with a desk job.
All right, so mine were Dorflinger, ex-Nazi rocket scientist, dredges up mixed feelings. Vandermeer, exactly the sort of person who put your family in a concentration camp. Sims, seems nice, if slightly out of touch with what's going on here.
I think I played that right.
Takahashi, brilliant. And a foreigner in their own racist country of birth. Let's see, Vandermeer, military Scheißgirl of the sort this country seems full of. Horrid.
Hang on, let me see.
It's got the German double S.
Ali can probably pronounce it. Vandermeer. Scheißgirl. Yeah.
Scheißgirl?
Let's see. And then,
I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue. I feel like I've heard it being said in movies.
Scheister.
Yeah.
Scheister.
Fair enough.
Hang on.
What's your restricted data thing at the bottom?
This document contains restricted data as defined by the Atomic Energy Act of 1946.
Oh, there was just a bigger space. No, mine just says big old secret stamp.
Yeah, mine's got a secret stamp. Okay. But
I thought it was extra stuff.
Yeah, I've got the same he's got.
And what do you say about Sims?
I say Sims probably eager to pack up Juggernaut and ship it to some undisclosed location in Nevada.
So, Takahashi. Fully vetted and solid. We did Takahashi dirty during the war, but all is forgiven. He's valuable. Dorflinger. Valuable. And that's about all there is to say. Worked for the SS at Reckenflagelplatz, Pintmund's building, V-2 rockets for Dornberger and von Braun. And Vandermeer. A little too loud, a little too aggressive, a little too obvious to not have some other game in play.
I didn't have any other game. I was just a racist military guy.
So I looked up curl on leo.de. We all know what scheiss means.
Yeah.
It means fellow or guy. So you're literally calling him a shit man.
The other ones, Chandrakar, this is look. Seems smart. Built this thing anyway. Someone you can work with. And Brousseau, political asshole, a problem no matter what the outcome of the test. So Vandermeer doesn't like anyone.
Yeah. Chandraker, built the hardware, cares more about the work than politics, could be replaced. Brousseau, someone to be pointed at Vandermeer.
I had Chandrakar, hardworking, patient, kind, talented. Probably knows a thing or two about racism. And Brousseau, a distraction.
See, Chandrakar, talented engineer, although without any theory as a guide for busy hands. Brousseau, you don't quite understand why this person is here at all.
I want to see what the card says for Brousseau. Word got out after fashion. Everything is still top secret, but your boss, who is at the apex of the political food chain, felt that someone should be on hand to represent the interest of the political elite. Protect the public funds. Keep an eye out for snake oil. A machine that could tell the future is the most ridiculous thing you have ever heard. But then again, it is an age of wonders, isn't it? And if your boss thought it was important enough to keep tabs on, and the military, and whoever Sims works for, well, who are you to doubt it? If it actually works, it'll be the biggest thing since nickel slot machines.
What did that person feel about the rest of us?
So, for Brousseau, Takahashi, quote, American. Some kind of math egghead. Chandrakar, quote, British.
the engineer who built this clacking monster, Dorflinger, a reconstructed Nazi, better on our side than their side, Vandermeer, good people, the sort of stand-up officer who should be bird-dogging projects like this, and Sims, not sure what is going on with this Joker.
Better find out.
Dr. Chandrakar, your background is one of relative privilege. Your father is a well-placed politician who opposed the Indian National Congress and made sure you attended all the right schools in Britain, where you became, to his dismay, a mechanical engineer. You spent the war building Juggernaut's ancestors in Letchworth, Hertfordshire, and for the British Tabulating Machine Company. Miles of wiring, vacuum tubes, row after row of crisply machined apparatus with tight tolerances, all for cracking Nazi codes. Now there are new enemies and more money and real people who don't understand real power. I'm sorry, and people who don't understand real power or real opportunity. If you could see the future, you can make the future. So Dr. Chandrakar, so Takahashi, someone you feel like you understand, although the work is completely beyond you. Dorflinger, an ex-Nazi, but a repentant one. All is forgiven. The work is everything. Vandermeer, a little too cocksure, a little too certain, a little too stupid. Sims, dangerous, represents the intelligence apparatus, and that is always trouble. And Brousseau, infuriatingly powerful, as one well-placed word could dry up your funding. It's an interesting game.
Yeah.
It did not take 2 hours.
No.
It was fun.
I think it because mainly we kind of blew through.
We did. I think it would have been better if we had been like a little more physical because we just all kind of sat at the table. Yeah. I would love to try this again. There are other like cards that you can
throw in
to improve the replayability.
And we were all just,
I didn't think it was pretty perfect that you pulled both of them about doubting the machine.
Yeah.
It also worked out really well that when I hit the button, you yanked out that one about the rodeo protocol. I'm like, oh, well, that makes more sense because I already knew it was in effect, and I already freaked out.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool. It's my first time like ever trying out a LARP, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like a quote unquote LARP because. Yeah. Most of the setting is people sitting around
in a room. Yeah. I feel like if we wanted to, we could have really, like, gone whole hog and, like, set up, like, a drinks cart or, you know, brought in some props or something, like a clipboard and pen or something.
Well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Maybe actually have a ticketing machine.
But also wouldn't work for recording, though, because a lot of that props and all that other is visual.
Yeah.
I mean, we would just sprinkle the room with microphones.
Yeah.
Record the whole room. And that way we just, like, we all sit around in chairs and someone gets up and hits the button in the, you know, like on the coffee table in the middle and tabulates.
I thought it was,
And we'll have one person be the machine. And anytime it's done, they go, ding!
Can that be Will?
Yeah. I was hoping.
I was listening.
Beep? No, Will, you say ding.
It don't beep.
No, Will, you ding. It doesn't honk, it doesn't beep, it dings. It's got a bell inside, it's a mechanical machine.
I was exploring my character.
You're a giant computer that predicts the future. That's your character.
Well,
and you go ding.
I can predict I'm going to go honk.
The next card you pull, the Juggernaut changes its sound.
Well,
you can do whatever sound you want, then, ding.
Major Vandermeer.
Oh, my stomach.
The Juggernaut predicts that you're about to have a stroke.
It's right. It's right this time. Why does it keep beeping?
Do I smell toast?
I don't remember.
I don't know why it's beeping, sir. It's supposed to be ding. Ask Dr. Chandrakar.
I could have sworn I saw nothing in the machine.
Now it's going awooka!
Who set this up? You people are monsters!
Oh, yeah, well.
You're all Nazis!
Well, the guy I had set up in this place to do his own little things, he just had a few sound effects.
He messed around with our soundboard.
He did. I'm sorry. He put in a bell, a whistle.
did Did the machine just move?
I think it burped. It belched out that last word.
Sorry, drink a soda.
Okay, just don't be around while the machine's eating. It does this thing where it tries to breathe while it's chewing. I don't know how it's still alive.
It's alive?
What did it eat? You said it was a machine.
All right, well, listeners, that was Juggernaut.
I forgot who was recording.
Just showing on a red.
We love you, Will. Does anyone have any last Will thoughts?
Honk.